Well, tonight we're going to look at the timeline in the book of Revelation. And in Jesus' day, when he was on earth, he said that regarding his coming, he said that no man knoweth the day or the hour, not even the angels, only the Father in heaven. Well, there is necessary, regardless of that, there is a timeline. Or rather, should we say, an order of events. That'd probably be more accurate to say. Because God does instruct us in his word. Although that we can know the order of events, or the timeline in the sense of the prophetic rollout of God's plan, we don't know today when Jesus Christ will return in terms of the hour or the day, specifically. We don't know what date and time he's going to return. But there is a lot of revelation in the word which shows what events are going to unfold. And in terms of understanding the book of Revelation, it's quite a milestone in your understanding when you get to understand how it begins to piece together. And then your understanding starts to grow in a more wholesome way of what the book of Revelation really is about. Looking at the timeline of God's prophetic plan, the timeline in the book of Revelation, there are some things that we won't have time to look at tonight. We haven't got time to go into the Gospels. We haven't got time to go into the Old Testament. And there's other things like the feasts of the Lord. The feasts of the Lord are a prophetic type of the whole plan of God. And a lot of the end times and the rollout and things that are going to happen are actually typified in the Feast of the Lord. We haven't got time to go tonight into that, so that's something we've got to put aside. But I want to spend most of the time tonight in the book of Revelation. What we'll do first, I'll just outline, if you turn to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Before we get into it, I just need to outline the broad view of the events and what's involved. Essentially, there are 7 seals in the book of Revelation. There are 7 trumpets as well. Within the 7 trumpets, there are 3 woes, and there are 7 seals, bowls. There are 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 3 woes, and 7 bowls. And a couple of other things is that when you read the book of Revelation, it's not linear. It's not necessarily all chronological. What is spoken of that's going to happen in those days? There are many things that are going to happen. Some of the things are concurrent. Concurrent means that they will run and occur together. They run along together. If you look at a motorway that maybe has 4 or 5 lanes, you'll see lanes with traffic going along. Each lane has traffic, and they're concurrently all running together. Some of them will be going to the same place. Others will be stopping short. Some of them will be going longer. The book of Revelation's like that. And you have that image in your mind that it's like a number of lanes with vehicles traveling, different vehicles. And some go all the way. Some stop short, etc. That's the way the book of Revelation is written. It's not linear and it's not chronological. God, in explaining these things to us so we have a wholesome understanding, sometimes stops and goes back and explains a whole thing in great detail. And then the story picks up again. So it's not linear and it's not chronological necessarily. So let's just paint a big picture of this. We know that there are 7 seals. That's a book with seven seals on, or a scroll with seven seals. There are seven trumpets, there are three woes, and there are seven bowls of wrath. Now, the way that this works is that the seals are opened, and pretty much most of the seals go throughout the whole period of the book of Revelation, in terms of the 7 years before Jesus Christ returns. The sixth seal actually takes you to the very end of the time of judgment, when Jesus Christ comes and sets the kingdom of God on earth, and he brings the judgment of God. The sixth seal goes all that way. The seventh seal actually sort of cuts back from that and shows you, like one of these lanes in a motorway, shows you other events that are going on. But in that lane, there are different cars and there are different destinations. And if you can grasp that concept, you'll do well when it comes to how to understand the book of Revelation. If you try and understand the book of Revelation in a chronological linear sequence, you'll get confused. You'll end up scratching your head. If you understand that it's a multifaceted description of many events and many things that are going to take place, and some things run all the way and some things go half the way, etc., then you'll begin to grasp the shape of it. It's really important. So, there is a scroll that Jesus Christ takes from the Father, and it has seven seals on it. And as those seals are broken, it shows you what's happening in world events, what's going to happen. And we'll read all these in a moment, just giving you the broad picture. The sixth seal, when that's opened, what we see happen there takes us right to the end. The seventh seal contains the seven trumpets. Okay, and this is another lane. The seven trumpets, the first four trumpets are blown. But when you get to the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet, tied to those are other lanes called woes. There are three woes. The woes, the first woe is the effect of the fifth trumpet. The second woe are the effects of the sixth trumpet. And the third woe are the effects of the seventh trumpet. Now don't worry if you don't get all this immediately, it'll grow in your understanding. So in the seventh seal, God now sort of comes back the way and he explains in greater depth the seven trumpets. And within the seven trumpets, the last three, the effects of those lead to the three woes. The last three trumpets contain the three woes. Now the seventh trumpet is unique, because the seventh trumpet contains the third woe, and the seventh trumpet contains also the seven bowls of wrath. Now, if you've got a picture of this, let's just start again and just reiterate it once more. There are seven seals. The sixth seal takes you right to the end. The seventh seal is a lane that starts before that, and it takes a bit of a journey to get to the end. In that seventh seal, there are seven trumpets. The last three of those seven trumpets contain what's called the three woes. The three woes. The seventh or last trumpet contains something else within that called the seven bowls of wrath. And they complete the wrath of God. And that's how it is all written out. And the best way to understand it is many lanes going along a freeway or a motorway or a carriageway. And then you get lanes within lanes. And you get vehicles travelling, and some go the whole distance, some go part. Sometimes there's a stop off and that vehicle is explained. And the book of Revelation is just like that. And if you can grasp that, rather than trying to read the book of Revelation in a sequential, chronological, linear fashion, which it's not. It's multifaceted. It shows you everything that's happening in the end times. It shows you all the different perspectives. And God cannot show us 50 things at once. Or at least we cannot receive understanding from God of 50 things at once. So he breaks it down in these ways so that we can digest it. And the book of Revelation, once you trust God and you go with it in this way, is not hard to understand. It actually becomes quite simple if we can take it for what it's written. So we'll start in Revelation chapter 5. So what we're going to track tonight is, what I'm going to give you really is the keys to understand the timeline in the book of Revelation, or God's prophetic plan, the order of events. Okay, so, and it all begins in Revelation 5. And it says, in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him," this is God, "that sat on the throne, a book written," it's like a scroll, "written within and on the backside." So it was written on both sides. "And it was sealed with seven seals." Here are the seven seals. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Okay. This is like a book. And the book has, when the book is open, that's when all the events written in the book can come to pass. It's like the project plan. "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Yeah, Muhammad, the Pope, the preachers, us, nobody was allowed. Nobody was worthy to open that book. And John said, "And I wept because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders, there are 24 elders that have been with God around his throne since before creation. One of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book," this is Christ, "and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" See, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Horns and eyes. Horns are an imagery of government in the heavenly realm. Eyes is something that can see. And it says, "These are the spirits, the seven spirits of God." The seven spirits of God. Oh my, how many wacky teachings are there on this? The seven spirits of God are the seven angels. The seven angels who blow the seven trumpets, we'll read later. The seven angels who pour the wrath of God out. They are judgment, administration, government angels. Mighty angels in God's government. And they're with Christ. And interestingly, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, the seven angels, Jesus Christ, and God the Father Almighty, all of them send peace to the seven churches. So that's what it's referred to here. And in verse 7, "And he," Jesus Christ, "the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him," Jah, "the Father, that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts," that's the living creatures, "and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." Right. Now, Jesus Christ at this point has taken the scroll from God, which is the book, to open the book, to open the seals, so that the events in the book can now happen. Who is in control? Jesus Christ. You see that? Jesus Christ has been given the authority, to the sovereign power from God. You know, he said in the Gospels, all power and authority is given unto me by the Father. That's what he said about himself. And here we see it. He's about now to take his sovereign power. And the sovereign power leads all the way up to him taking his reign in this world with his Father. And here it is. These are the seven seals. This is how it begins. But God says there are many things, a chaotic time, dreadful things are going to happen to the world. Jesus Christ told us in the Gospels that when we see all those things coming, lift our heads up because our redemption draws near. The fullness of what he paid for draws near. The full manifestation of the token of what we have today draws near. You know? So there are seven seals. So if we go to chapter 6 and we begin reading what's involved in the seals as Christ opens them. So remember, there are seven seals, seven trumpets, three woes, and seven bowls of wrath. And verse 1 of chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. These beasts here are not beasts, it's but poor translation in the King James. It's a Zoa, which means living creatures. They're not like beasts with all ugly faces. These are beautiful heavenly creatures. They're living creatures, okay? And verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Jesus Christ opens the first seal, and suddenly there is a white horse, which is a counterfeit of the white horse of chapter 19. And somebody sitting on this goes forth to conquer, you see. Something's going to happen. This refers to the man of sin. And when Jesus Christ had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. So in other words, when he's opening these seals, it's the events that are happening in the world. And there went out another horse that was red. And by the way, horse in prophecy, in the Old Testament, you'll see, refers to spirits, spiritual things. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The time of the end is going to be characterized by these things. There's going to be a white horse conquering to conquer. It's a falsehood. There's going to be peace taken from the world so that there's going to be great wars and men are going to kill each other. These are the things that are going to characterize. These are the events that are going to happen in the world. And verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four creatures say, a measure of wheat for a penny or a denarius, and three measures of barley for a denarius. See thou hate not the oil and the wine. This refers to economics gone bad. You know, a denarius was a day's wage of old. And what's happening here is for a whole day's work, that there's just enough to buy the most meager meal to keep you barely alive. When we read about these balances and it talks about a measure of wheat and three measures of barley, wheat is more nutritious than barley. One measure of wheat for a denarius, or three measures of less nutrition in barley for a denarius, just about keep you alive. because the war, the effects of what's going to happen in the world, the trumpet judgments, things are going to become very tough economically. Food is going to be scarce. And verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given them over the fourth part of the earth. So a quarter of the earth is going to have this power exerted upon it in those areas. To kill with sword and with hunger, with death and with the beasts of the earth. You know, there's going to be, the end times is going to be terrific death. Second World War, over 50 million people were killed. There's a time coming when there's going to be billions who are going to die. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Another thing, many are going to suffer imprisonment and martyrdom, death, for the word of God. The whole world is going to go nuts. And verse 12, when I beheld, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This is a time where it talks about, before the day of the Lord, the moon's going to turn to blood fully. And the sun's going to turn as black as sackcloth fully. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And this takes you right to the end, at the time when Jesus Christ is broken down, with the wrath of God broken down, all the cities in the world, and all the kingdoms of this world have been utterly destroyed. And it says that the every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, the every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks. They hid themselves underground. And they said, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. That's Jah, the Almighty. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? That takes you right to the end. And then there's an interlude of an explanation answering the question, who should be able to stand? That's in the next chapter, that interlude. And then even then it takes you to the end again. But let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. Because this deals with the seventh seal. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels, which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Okay, so we've had the seven seals. Okay, that's all been explained. In the seventh seal now, there are seven angels. Stood before God, and they're given a trumpet each. So now we're going to get into the seven angels blowing their trumpets. Verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. They got ready to sound it. The seals broken show global events, show events that travel through all the way to the end time. Lots of things. They're not just happen immediately there and then. They run over a long period of time. Well, certainly within 7 years, but over periods of time, even right to the end. And here the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, the first four trumpets affect the earth and the sea. They affect the biosphere. And some of mankind will be affected. But these angels are given power to hurt the earth, the land, the sea. And the effects of these four trumpets are relatively short-lived. These are things that have got a short journey in that motorway lane. So let's read them. The first angel sounded, verse 7, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. This refers to an asteroid storm, if you like, or rather a meteorite storm. Hail and fire mingled with blood, and it's going to come down. And what it's going to do, a third of the trees are going to be burnt up, and all the green grass is going to be burnt up. Now, if you think across the whole world that all of the crops that are grown in the ground are all going to be burnt up. A third of the trees are going to be burnt up. So a third of food that grows on trees is going to be wiped out. There'll be two thirds left with all the ground crops wiped out. That is going to lead to some pandemonium. The second angel sounded, verse 8, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. This is like a huge asteroid or comet, and it's burning with fire. It's a big, huge, like a mountain of rock. Big, big one. It's not tiny one. You know, a mountain is not like a little hill or a little piece of rock, a lump of rock. It's an enormous mass of rock. It's big. Think of Mount Everest or K2 or any of the mountains. Massive, huge. Now, the impact of that hurtling from outer space through the atmosphere, on fire as it comes through the atmosphere, and hurling into the sea, the force that that would do, the disruption in the world is going to be massive. It says, and a third part of the sea became blood. And then verse 9, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. The effects of this mountain or massive rock from outer space banging into the sea is that a third of the ships and a third of the living creatures will be destroyed. And the force of that is going to reverberate around coastlines around the world. In the day when the first couple of trumpets are blown, don't go walking along the beach. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Now, a great star is bigger than a mountain. At first we had meteorites, you know, hail, fire. Then we had like a massive rock, an asteroid, a huge piece, a big mountain. And now we've got a star, something, however big a star is, it's different sized stars, but this is big. And what it does across the world and everything that it brings with it, it falls on the water supply. Let's read it. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. See, a third part of the earth's water supply, fresh water supply, got poisoned for a period of time. And then the fourth angel sounded in verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Even from a scientific point of view, the effects of a star coming through Earth's atmosphere and into the space, the biosphere of Earth, and the huge asteroid hitting the sea, and a meteorite storm with so much fires right across the globe that all of the green grass was burnt up, and a third of the trees, all of that is going to produce, the best way I can put it is, it says that the signs in the end times, before the day of the Lord, will be vapors of smoke, blood and fire. There's going to be plenty of fire, there's going to be lots of smoke, and it's going to knock out what's up, what goes up in the atmosphere is going to knock out a third part of the sun, a third part of the stars, a third part of the moon, so that for a third of the day doesn't shine. And this is a warning. These physical events is God, the Almighty, Jah, warning mankind. This is prophesied. It's there in the Word. Warning mankind, because that is tame by comparison of what's going to come. It's only in third measure. Only a third part of the creatures in the sea died. Only a third of the trees were burnt up. Okay, all the green grass is burnt up. Only a third of the ships died. Only a third of the moon, the stars, the sun failed to shine. There's 100% full on that's going to happen further down the line in the seven bowls. See, now at this point, this is a warning to mankind, because things are going to get a whole heap worse from this point on. And what it says in the next verse, verse 13, it talks about the woes. Remember, we said there are seven seals, and in the seventh seal, there are seven trumpets. Okay, after the first four trumpets, the last three trumpets contain three woes, or they lead, if you like, to three woes. And contained in the seventh trumpet, we'll see, are the seven bowls and the third one. So in the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet, you get the first, second, and third woe. There are three woes. And it says here in verse 13, chapter 8, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The three angels which are yet to sound is the angel which has the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet. Those three angels of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. And it says that the effects of those trumpets are going to be woe, woe, woe. There are three woes. And the word woe is an exclamation of dire grief. And what happens when you look at the book of Revelation, it progressively gets more intense. And that's really the love of our Father. Not wanting to lose anybody. Wanting to wake man up. You see, show man. It'll show with a certain degree of intensity. If that doesn't work, he'll turn up the volume on the intensity. If that doesn't work, he'll turn it up more. And then it gets to the very final point when you read that they repented not of their deeds, and they blasphemed God, and they fought against Christ and Jah Almighty. And, you know, what more can be done for somebody in that position? So, the angel here says there are three woes that are going to follow the next three trumpets. That if we think what's just happened is bad, the world will be in turmoil at this point. All the crops that were grown in the ground will have all been burnt. A third of the trees will have been burnt up. The atmosphere will be polluted. A third of the living creatures in the sea will die. Food sourced from the sea will become that much more scarce. A third of the ships in the sea will have been destroyed. It's serious. It'll be very serious. But the angel says, if you think that's bad, there is more grief to come. So, chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now notice we've moved now from physical to spiritual, because this star was given the key to the bottomless pit. And the Greek here is not that he saw a star fall from heaven. The Greek is in the past tense. He saw a star that had fallen from heaven. Now this is really key, because the Antichrist cannot be revealed, Thessalonians says, until the abyss releases him. He's held in the abyss. The full name of the Antichrist, or rather the full title of the Antichrist, is the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit or the abyss and goes into perdition. And Paul said in Thessalonians that we know what withholds him fast. We know what holds him, that he can't be revealed until his due time. In chapter 12 of Revelation, the adversary and his ruling devil spirits are kicked out of heaven. They're forced out of heaven and cast to the earth. Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these devil spirits and these powers and principalities of devil spirit domain and rule in high places in the heavenlies. There's a time coming when the adversary is going to be forced and cast out of the midst, cast out of heaven, and he's going to be cast down to the earth with his ruling angels, with his ruling devil spirits. That happens before the fifth trumpet, because it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star, I'm going to give you the accuracy of the text, that had previously fallen from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So there is a star, and the star is another, when it's used spiritually, refers to angels. And these are devil spirit angels, not God's angels. And one of these angels, we don't know who it is. It might be Lucifer, the devil, or it might be one of his generals, it might be one of his angels, but it is given by God's government, somebody from God, he is given the key to the bottomless pit, the abyss. And within the abyss, there are angels sealed up in the abyss that are not allowed to roam the earth today. Now remember what the angel said before the blowing of this trumpet. He said, woe, 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 by the next three trumpets. There's going to be, as a declaration of, whoa, what's about to happen is going to be so much worse. And the first woe deals with the angels, the fallen angels, the angels that are today kept sealed in the bottomless pit, in the abyss, they're let out. Let's read it. In verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. Okay, these were given power. They didn't have it, they were given it. As the scorpions of the earth have power, And it was commanded them, and this is by God's government, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. We know 144,000 have got the seal of God in their foreheads, belonging to Israel. And we know that the whole of the body of Christ have been sealed with Christ in us. And that in terms of what it is to have the seal of God in your forehead is to have allegiance and love towards God and His Word. And to live that way. So that how we think and how we behave is our hearts and minds are in a different place. And we cannot be touched by those spirits that are let out from the bottomless pit. Because God's government commands them, they box them in under Jesus Christ's sovereignty, that they're not allowed to touch God's people. But why does God do this? Because He's showing those who are yet unsaved that if you want to follow the adversary, if you want to follow His way, you know, here's a foretaste of where they belong. Because it says that they were given, well, let's read it. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Okay. So these devil spirits would kill these men who don't have the seal of God, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Devil spirits torment people. They love tormenting mankind. They love it. And they're allowed to do it. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And that's got to be some powerful, heartfelt thing. Oh, gosh. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. Now, this is spiritual. If you could see it in the spiritual realm, this is what they would look like. Prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns of gold, and their faces as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. You know, they were quite protected. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So this lasts for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Right, one woe is past. Okay, so it took 5 months and it's passed, it's gone. And then it says, and it doesn't say when, it just says there's another two woes to come after this point. There's a lot more we could teach about that section, about the importance of that section in the revelation and rise to power of the Antichrist, and how he's going to work that and use it in strong delusion for man to believe the lie. There's going to be so much pressure. Doctrines of devils. There's going to be power put forth from devil spirits in that day. Yet, God's people, those who have the seal of God, who love God, cannot be touched. One woe is past. So this grief, this has just got worse. Because it's one thing having all the green trees burnt up. It's another thing if... It's another thing for those people who haven't got the seal of God, who don't love Jesus Christ and God, to be tormented 5 months so much that they just want to die. They want to seek death. It's too strong. That, the angel, according to God's word, says that that is a woe. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay, This is also down in the abyss below the Euphrates. There are four angels that have been bound there. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay a third part of mankind, of men. And then it talks about the number of the army of the horsemen, okay, were 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses. So you get horses, which are spirits, and you get men who are operated with the spirits. And let's just go down. It talks about plagues in verse 17, of fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed. By the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now it doesn't say when just yet, okay? But it takes you, even the rest of men which were not killed, this is verse 20, they didn't repent. They repented not of their evil. See, that's why God allows this. Another part of this woe is, or rather of this trumpet, should I say, is the mighty angel that comes down with the seven thunders in chapter 10. But the real part of this woe, okay, is chapter 11, which are the two prophets. I think the third part of men being killed is outside the second woe. And that the second woe refers to the mighty angel and the two prophets. But I think that needs more work to get it really accurate. But when the two prophets come along for the final 3.5 years, the effects of what they produce is grief to the world. If you look in chapter 11, verse 6, these, the two prophets, have power to show heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. So these two prophets, when it says close heaven, it means that it won't rain. There won't be any rain. There won't be any water. Man needs water to live. And have power over the waters to turn them to blood. So even the waters that are on earth, these two prophets can turn them to blood so they're undrinkable. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. If we think the four trumpets were bad, what these two prophets are going to smite the earth with is all plagues as often as they will. Not just all plagues, but as many times as these two prophets want to do it. We can read about the plagues in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus talks about plagues that happened once. The two prophets will multiply these plagues. It won't just be once or twice. It'll be as often as they will. It'll be many times. It'll be so intense that it's a grievesome woe. God commanded the four angels to do it to the earth. God will command the two witnesses to do it in woe territory, more grief territory than the first four trumpets. And the word that they're going to speak of will carry and hit into the hearts and minds of everybody on the planet. Everybody will get to hear about it. And everybody who's on the wrong side will get mightily peeved off and tormented by this word. And because they're aligned to God and His Word. God can send the four angels, Jesus Christ can send the four angels to smite the earth. And then the two prophets take up the ministry. Trumpet 5 and trumpet 6 lead to woes, as we see. What happens to the two prophets is that they're killed. by the Antichrist, by the man of sin, and their bodies are left in Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And during that time, verse 10 of chapter 11, it says, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." Really get the impact of this. The people of the world will be tormented by these two prophets. When somebody's tormented, it's a very, very powerful. It's not you feel a bit uncomfortable. Tormented means these two prophets will have them on a skewer and they'll be turning them around. That's what the two prophets will be doing to the people who are following the evil in the world. And verse 11, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." Now that's one mighty act. "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell." And this links us to the judgment that's going to roll out after this. Okay. In verse 14 it says, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." Okay. So the second woe is past. So the two prophets have done their bit. They've caused havoc in the world. They've tormented the people of the world, and they've been killed, and then they've been resurrected from the dead and taken up to heaven. And then it goes a view then towards the judgment that's following even. And it says at that point, the judgment that's following, the second woe is past, but the third woe has come quickly. Now we backtrack to the seventh trumpet, which causes further down the line the third woe, which leads on to the third woe. So you've got to get this sequence. This is important because the trumpets come back the way when they're explained, and the effects are further down the line. Okay, so the second woe doesn't happen whilst we're here on earth. It happens after we've been gathered together. It happens after the seventh trumpet has been blown. Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 onwards, says that we are gathered together at the last or seventh trumpet. And you really just have to work the finite accuracy of this to see it. And just trust God and what he's telling us. It fits perfectly like a hand in a glove. Mathematically precise. So we're going to go back to the trumpet. The trumpets are before the woes. The woes can happen further on. So God's coming back and forth explaining it to us. And then it talks about the seventh angel, verse 15. Well, that's verse 14. "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." So now we backtrack to the seventh angel. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world..." These are the effects of the seventh angel, seventh trumpet. "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, Jah, and his Christ, Jesus, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever." And it's at this point that we're gathered together. And then the whole of the effects of the seventh trumpet roll into Christ taking reign on earth. And he's now going to tread the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. Now we've just done the seven seals, the three woes. Well, we haven't completed the third woe. And the seven trumpets. And we're running out of time, so I won't labour too much on this last bit. But the last part here is the seventh trumpet. Contained within the seventh trumpet is the third woe. And in that are the seven bowls of wrath, which completes the fullness of the wrath of God. And if we turn to chapter 15... verse 1, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Prior to the seventh trumpet, the faithful are protected, like Israel were protected in the land of Goshen. We don't come under the wrath of God. The adversary may chase us around the world. The adversary may throw some of us in prison. You know, the adversary may cause some of us to be martyred. But that's not God doing that. That's the adversary. We are promised protection from the wrath of God. And it says that we may, whatsoever things were written aforetime in Romans 15:4, were written for our learning, instruction. So that we may have hope through the comfort of the scriptures. Through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we may have hope. So when we see the comfort and patience in the scriptures of Israel being protected in the land of Egypt, in Goshen, when the plagues came down, so we too, when the third measures are poured out. And then at the seventh trumpet, the timeline is then for the church to be raptured or to gather together or snatched out of the world before the fullness of the wrath of God comes. So, chapter 15, verse 1 is, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Filled up means completed. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. Now, on the other side of this is a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Verse 4. And they sang, who shall not fear thee, O Jah, and glorify thy name? Because in the time to come, the name of Jah is going to be great in the earth. Says in the Old Testament, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I beheld and looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony of God in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And then through chapter 16 onwards, we're not going to read it, but then by this time, the body of Christ is gathered into heaven. And the wrath of God in its fullness is poured out. And it says, the first verse 2, verse 1 of chapter 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying unto the seven angels, go your ways, and pour out the vials, the bowls of wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And then you can read the rest yourself. That's the fullness of the wrath of God. There are seven bowls that get poured out with all manner. And it's not a third of the waters turned to blood. It's all of the waters in that day turned to blood. So there's no living water. There's not a third of the light turned to darkness. It says that the kingdom of the beast on earth, all of it, for days, is going to be turned into darkness. There are 30 days mentioned in Daniel when all this will happen. It's all poured out. So, what we've looked at tonight, Well, maybe I should just say, is at the end of all that, there's going to be, it talks about a mighty earthquake. And it says, all the cities of the nations fall. Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God on earth, and it's rebuilt in God's image, in God's way. And that's coming. And the cities of the world, the ways of the world, the wickedness in the world, it's all going. It's all disappearing under the hand of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not only the Lamb of God, he's also the conquering Lion, the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is coming back with a rod of iron, with force, with violence against evil and wickedness, and against the adversary and his ways, and all those who go and stand with the adversary. He's coming back with violence to set up the kingdom of God. Everything that stands in the way of the love of God, the righteousness of God, the light, he is going to remove. So what have we looked at tonight? We've looked at the timeline in the book of Revelation. And remember, we said that it's like a freeway or a carriageway or a motorway with lots of lanes. And you get different speeds and lanes and vehicles. Some go short journeys, some go right to the end. Some stop off along the way. And they run concurrently in different times also. There are seven seals which pervade the whole timeline for the last 7 years. There are seven, in the seventh seal, there are seven trumpets. In the seven trumpets, eventually the last three of the seven trumpets, trumpet 5, 6, and 7, the effects of them eventually further on, further down the motorway lane, produce the three woes of when things start to get a lot heavier. And then in the seventh trumpet, following the seventh trumpet, leads to the third woe. And the seven, and in that third woe are all the seven bowls of the fullness of God's wrath. Now if you've grasped that, that's at the very core backbone of the book of Revelation. And to understand the timeline and God's plan and how the events roll out, it's a multifaceted explanation in the book of Revelation. It's not linear and it's not chronological. You only understand the chronology when you understand that there's concurrent lanes running. So hopefully what I've shared tonight will give you a real tool to go into the book of Revelation and begin to understand it when you read it, how it all starts working together. It's very, very simple when you break it down. But you just need to understand how God explains it to us. Yeah, and we need to believe his word. Amen.